I am so glad to have you back to visit with you again one more time during this GLOW celebration. This is Kathy Freeman with Real Positive Change, and I have just been basking in the glow that has been created from all the calls so far. And so I thought rather than just going through an introduction of myself, I was actually going to have someone introduce me because that's kind of the protocol of how you do that. But I'm a little bit of a rebel, or I don't know if that's the word. I just don't always fall in the line of pomp and circumstance. And I like settings that are more casual, more relaxed, and I would actually really rather, I would love it, as a matter of fact, if we could all just be sitting in a circle and just sharing back and forth, because I know that every single person that's on this call or that will listen to this call has their own story, their own experiences that will magnify and edify each of us. And so that would actually be the ideal situation for me. But since we're not able to do that, we're just going to go forward. Today is the day to let go. We are coming to the end of the second day, and tonight I really encourage, I hope to be pleasantly surprised with a lot of pictures on Facebook, of people that are taking the initiative to really make this step. This is this last part, which is this evening, where you take the list that you've been creating and burn them, let them glow, is just simply a symbolic kind of representation of what you truly have been doing within your heart. Symbols are really important. You know, we look around, and everywhere we look, everywhere, something symbolizes something else. It reminds us of something. It represents something. And symbols have always been very important. To look at my life as a complete whole circle and really focusing in on how I am communicating to others and to myself. Am I being effective in what I'm trying to come across, be it how I feel, what I think about something, or what I'm actually trying to say? Because all that really comes together. It really comes together in one point. And that point is lit up, it's magnified as we become clear inside ourselves, and we're able to hear, we're able to understand, and we're able to let that out. You know, there's a lot of studies that have been done, and I was reading something not too long ago, and it talked about that 90% of the messages that we communicate is unspoken, and I truly agree with that. The other 7 to 10% is actual verbiage, it's words. And we talked a little bit earlier about the importance of words, and words are important. It's the vibration of the words. It's the frequency that the words put out. Just like when you play an instrument, that tone comes forward. When we speak a word, that's magnifying a tone within ourselves. And so that's what I focus on, is what is the tone that we are allowing to represent ourselves. I want to get to some nuts and bolts. I'm going to give you some tools in this call that will help you. I'll kind of weave in and out my own personal story. But I want to really encourage you to start thinking about yourself as this in this whole aspect that I'm going to cover, and to start creating your own plan of health. What I mean about the whole self, I'm talking about, and many of you have heard this, it's talking about the spiritual, and it's that mental, and it's the emotional, and it's that physical part of us. And so I usually ask myself kind of three questions. What's not working in these areas? What am I ready to change? And hence why I came up with the title for my own company, Real Positive Change, because when I want to change something, my desire, my intent is that it moves in a positive direction. So what am I ready to change, and how am I going to do that? What do I want it to look like? You know, if I don't take a look at all four of these areas, and there are times when I don't, and those times when I don't, it's like an apple cart that gets too full, and then one of the wheels breaks down, and what happens to that apple cart? It tips over, and out goes all the apples. And that's exactly what happens to me. I start to fall apart, and I can tell. I can tell. It used to be that I'd have to get to the point of where I would start to get frustrated and angry with everyone in the household. It was like, watch out, mom's on a roll. But, you know, I've trained myself. I've worked enough with this now that I don't even have to get to that. I can just feel it inside myself and know when it's starting to shift. And then I can stop, assess, and redirect myself. And I hope that becomes your goal, is that you don't have to have this rude awakening of, you know, upset people or doing something embarrassing or whatever to waken yourself that there's a change that needs to happen. You know, I'm going to start really quickly with the spiritual. Now, for me, and everybody has their own spiritual practices, but for me, I have a set pattern that I start each day and I end each day talking with God. And then in the mornings, because that works the best for me, is I do what I call a spiritual treasure hunt through the scriptures. I look at it as really literally finding and searching, seeking for things. And that, when I do that, it tends to just uplift and balance me. Many people will do meditation. There's all different things that people have that work best for them. I have already earlier in a couple of the calls, or one of the calls actually, spoke about this particular situation, but it was brought up again, and I want to go ahead and I'm going to share it with you because this one for me really magnifies, and I guess it was kind of the opening of my eyes to how really truly everything is created spiritually. Everything starts with that little grain of thought and that tone, that feeling that we're putting out. And that story has to do with my son and actually with my daughter. You know, I mentioned earlier that our daughter Amy passed away at the age of 17 in a car accident. And when I would get overwhelmed, and many of you that have experienced grief, you know that there's these emotions that just start to curdle up inside of yourself. And they can overwhelm you. They can overtake you. They can even start to paralyze you. And I'm the type of person that I like to keep going. I like my life to keep flowing. I don't like to just stop. And I used to do it in a pattern of trudging along, like the, you know, like I think about the hand carts and the pioneers in their wagons. It would just be, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it. And I have so let that go now. It's really about just sitting back and letting guidance come to me and helping me to move along. But I still have to make those steps. As these moments would come, I found to be able to calm myself down and bring myself back to peace by thinking about my particular daughter. Amy was a hugger, and she would, everybody she saw, she would wrap her arms around them and give them a big hug. And she was known for that. She was known for this tender nature that she had. And so I would close my eyes, and I would envision in my mind Amy hugging me. And she would just hold me. And as she would do that, I could feel her presence, and I would just calm down. And then I would be able to go about my day. Well, during this particular time, I had mentioned that there was some struggles. My son dealing with a lot of anxiety himself, and he has compulsive thinking that tends to loop and loop to where it builds up a lot of emotion within him, and he would go into rage and anger. He was struggling a lot in his life at that time. As a parent and going through my own things, we were struggling too. And that particular time, the communication lines had completely shut down. It was easier to just love him from afar than to step into his path, you might say. And so I took the back seat. He was living with us. He would go to work, and then he would come home, go down the basement, which I lovingly called the cave, and he would stay there, and he would never communicate with anybody in the household. And if he did, it was like, ooh, take cover, watch out, what's happening? It was a little bit of a scary time. As a parent does, you tend to worry about your children and trying to figure out what can you do to help the situation. I don't think we ever stop thinking about how we can help a situation. And I was, that particular morning, starting to feel a little bit of this anxiety with, you know, whatever coming on. I was thinking about him. And so there again, I started that process of thinking about Amy and having her wrap her arms around me. And as she did that, and I felt myself calming down, the words came into my mind, as you've done with Amy, do the same with your son. And I had to stop and think about that for a minute because I wasn't quite sure what was being said to me or what that message was. And then I realized it was, talk to him spirit to spirit. Wrap your arms around him. Hold him so that you could help him, his whole being, to calm down. And so I started to do that. Within each morning for 3 days, I would take a few minutes, and it didn't take very long, but I placed in my mind every single person in my household in a little circle, and I went around to each one of them, and I expressed my love, my gratitude to them, how much I appreciated them, something, just whatever came to my heart. I didn't have a set ritual, but just whatever came to my heart that expressed to them how important they were. And then I asked them for a hug, and, of course, in my mind, I would exchange this hug with them. And it was interesting because the first couple of times that I did this in my mind with my son, I could feel him put his arms around me, but there was this distance between us. It was just a very social kind of what you kind of do with people that you don't know super well, but you still want to extend that emotion to them. And I was satisfied with that. I was okay with that. Well, the third day when I did this, and I got to him, and I did the same thing, expressed my love and my gratitude to him, and just told him how important he was and is to me, and asked him to put his arms around me. Sorry, here comes the tears. He just fell into my arms like a child melting into my soul. And as if I could hear these words, "Oh, Mom." And I could feel the pain and struggle that goes on within inside of himself. It was very overwhelming, and it was a very beautiful experience. Well, that evening, everyone was gone from the house except for my two youngest daughters. They were just little at the time, and they were in their bedroom playing, which is across the hall from my bedroom. And I was on the phone with somebody, and we were chit-chatting away, and all of a sudden I heard the front door open, and in came my son, and I knew that, okay, typical pattern, go downstairs. Everything's fine, no big deal. Well, to my surprise, he started to walk down the hall, and with that came a little bit of concern for me. I was worried, why is he doing this? Because it's not his normal pattern. And when he would do something like that, he would typically be upset, whatever was going to happen. So I told my friend on the phone, hold just a moment, I need to see what's happening. And as I listened, I could hear him go into my daughter's room. And all of a sudden, he started just busying with them in this most joyful tone of voice. How are you doing? What are you guys up to? He was actually communicating with his younger siblings and trying to become a part of their daily life. And I was stunned. I was really overwhelmed with what was happening there and quite amazed. I thought, that's just really cool. Well, then he says, well, okay, I'm going to head back downstairs now, so good night, guys. So he's turned and started going down the hall, and instantly in my mind came the thought, say good night to him. Now, you have to remember, we did not talk. As sad as that is to admit, we just didn't speak because I was afraid I would trigger something in him. And as I said, I thought, okay, I'm gonna get brave. I'm going to do this. And so I spoke out loud, good night, Gary. And back came from him the words, good night, Mom. And then, do you think that's an awesome experience? Then came the big one. The thought came to my mind, ask him if you can give him a hug. Whoa. That one was very scary. I didn't know if I was even ready for that one. But I have learned through my life to act upon the promptings. Do not put them off. So I went ahead, pulled up my big girl pants, and asked him, can I give you a hug goodnight? And the answer was, sure, Mom. That was the opening of us being able to communicate once again, as we had always done, and rebuild that closeness that we always had. I was so, so grateful for that message that came to me that morning, 3 days earlier, do unto Gary as you have been doing with Amy. You know what we carry with inside ourselves resonates out to people. We may think that we are hiding it, but we are not, because there is a physical tone that vibrates out. And I came across a quote years ago that from a man that I truly admire, David O. McKay, and I have held on to that because it spoke volumes to me. I'm going to share it with you for a minute. You can find it on my website at realpositivechange.com under the Learning Library, under the tab that says Thought Energies. And this is how it goes. He talks about how no one can, and I quote, hide from his thoughts, nor escape from their inevitable consequences. Every person who lives in this world wields an influence, whether for good or for evil. It is not what he says alone. It is not alone what he does. It is what he is. Every man, every person radiates what he or she is. Every person is a recipient of radiation. The effects of our words and acts is tremendous in this world. Every moment of life, you are changing to a degree lives of the whole world. So it's not the surroundings, it isn't the positions, the things that will influence others in this world. What it is our personalities. No matter what you are, people will feel and recognize this. You radiate. You can't hide it. You may pretend something else, but that will not affect people. I'm going to repeat that last part. You radiate. You can't hide it. You may pretend something else, but that will not affect people. How many times have you been on the phone call with someone and you've asked them, how are you doing? But you can tell by the tone that comes back, or maybe just a feeling, that things are not well, or that they're not telling you exactly the whole truth, or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, we can't hide it. We may think we can, but we really can't. Let me tell you about the tear bottle. Is that an old tradition that they used to have, where when a child was born, the family received a beautiful bottle that was for that child. That bottle was extremely sacred. It was precious. It was something that they held on to throughout their whole life because it had a special meaning. And that meaning was that every time they would go through some sort of experience that might bring them any kind of an emotion of grief or sadness or pain or hardship, suffering, any of that, they would collect a tear and place it in the bottle. And then they would keep that. So throughout their whole life, this bottle would fill up with tears. Now, when the person passed away, that tear bottle was passed around the congregation that had gathered in respect for that person. And once again, a tear was gathered from each person. Then they sealed the bottle up and buried it with the individual. And the intent, the symbolism of this was that they were taking this bottle of all their hardships and their sufferings and everything that they experienced that was just overwhelmingly and excruciating in their life back to God to show him how hard life was for them, how much they truly had to suffer. This story was actually shared with your friend, Donna Nielsen, and she's written a book, Beloved Bridegroom. And she does a lot with symbolism and has taught me much about symbolism and how it plays, how we can understand it in the Old Testament. Anyway, she was relaying this and telling me the story, and then she started to talk about the story in the New Testament where the woman bathed the Savior's feet with her tears. And she said, think about that. She trusted him enough to allow these emotions out and to be able to give them to him, knowing that he would take them back to God for her. Now, I started to ponder on that. And when I thought about that, and we are vessels. That's what we are. Our body is a vessel. We all know this. We hold things within ourselves. And I thought about, we are just huge tear bottles. And we are constantly gathering these tears. And I thought, do I stuff that, put that lid on there tight and hold it inside myself so that I can prove to others how much I suffer in life? Or do I open up and allow it to flow and let it go back to where it needs to go? And I came to him and I said, I need some music. I need something that will go past that barrier that's created by the brain so that it can go in there, give recognition to what's happening, and then once that recognition is given, the body seems to just let it go. So he created for me the CD Comfort. We worked together. I told him what we were needed, and together that CD was created. Take the time today to really, as you go throughout the day, keep this list going. This is the day to let it go. This is the day to begin to get ready for a new day, to make the changes that you're really ready to do.